Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2062, with a release date of Friday, May 5th, 2017, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. There's a tragedy in India and hams respond. Morse codes ruled unnecessary in Taiwan. And in Ohio, the Voice of America Museum opens its doors for hamvention. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2062 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story this week is the report of a sudden and tragic collapse of a jetty on a riverfront in India, bustling with commuters. Local hams rushed to the scene to assist with the rescue efforts, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hams in West Bengal responded to a dramatic rescue effort on a riverfront outside Kolkata in India after an aging wooden jetty collapsed, sending at least four people to their death and injuring more than a dozen. The jetty on the Hooghly River, about 22 miles north of Kolkata, on the 26th of April was in a state of disrepair at the time of its collapse and was crowded with more than 150 commuters, including school children. The commuters were waiting for boats to ferry them to jetties on the opposite bank. As local fishermen took their boats out to pull victims from the water, others dived in, and members of the West Bengal Radio Club arrived on the scene with their 2-meter handheld transceivers and, using Echolink, contacted the club station VU2MQT 15 kilometers away to assist in the rescue effort. Rinku Nagbiswas, VU2JFB, at the club station was able to relay information. The Echolink station used the KM6 EOM repeater of the Wanderers Amateur Radio Club in Los Angeles, California, after contacting its custodian, Greg, KI6GIG. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
Morse code has become history once again. It's no longer a requirement for amateurs seeking their license in Taiwan. Here's more from Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Following the lead taken by so many other nations, Taiwan's National Communications Commission is preparing to do away with the Morse code requirement for amateur licensees in that nation. The change, which is contained in a recent amendment, has already been approved, but won't take effect immediately because the amendment must first be presented for public view for 2 months. The NCC's Frequency and Resources Department Deputy Director Chen Chunmu told the Taipei Times that in addition to dropping the code requirement, the amendment also extends the lifetime of an amateur license from 5 years to 10, and it allows hams with expiring licenses to begin the renewal process as many as 5 months before the expiration date. Presently, hams in Taiwan can only do this 1 month before expiration. Commission data reflects that 42,900 licenses have been issued by the NCC for qualified operators between 2012 and 2016. Morse code became an optional part of global amateur radio after the World Radio Communication Conference of 2003, when the International Telecommunications Union gave nations the right to decide individually whether code proficiency would remain part of their licensing qualifications. In the US, the FCC did away with the Morse code requirement for the technician class entry-level license in 1991, and a change that took effect in 2007 eliminated the FCC code requirement from licenses altogether. Poland, Italy, the Netherlands, Australia, and the UK also number among the many nations no longer requiring Morse. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
Been on 60 meters lately? Well, listen up. You might hear some newcomers, as Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, tells us.
It's getting a little busier on the air these days between 5351.5 kHz and 5366.5 kHz as hams in Malta and the United Arab Emirates get the green light to get on the band. The Malta Communications Authority's new national plan gives amateurs there access to the 60-meter band on a secondary basis. The maximum power permitted is 15 watts EIRP. Likewise, hams in the UAE are permitted to a maximum power of 15 watts EIRP. Malta, and the UAE join a number of nations that have been enjoying privileges on 60 metres, including hams in the US, who were given access by the FCC in 2012 for the band's use on a channelized basis. 8 channels have also been available for hams in Israel since 2013 for general and extra class licensees. The Cayman Islands, the Dominican Republic, and Greenland are among those nations also having access using channelized operation. Since the agreement at the World Radio Communications Conference in 2015, many countries who are new to the band are adopting the 15 kHz band rather than channels along with the 15 watts effective isotropic radiated power limit. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The K2BSA call sign is going camping again this weekend and will also be part of a net. Here are the details from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have 2 activations of the K2BSA call sign, 1 activation from Scout Camps on the Air, a Scouter's Net, and more. Russ Mikowitz, N7QR, will be the control operator for K2BSA Portable 7 at the Sunset Trails District Camperee in Rainier, Oregon, on Saturday, May 6th. This is the annual camperee for the Sunset District of the Cascade Pacific Council, which consists of Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts of the West Portland, Oregon area. Russ will have about 200 boys who will compete in patrols in various skills such as knot tying, tomahawk throwing, fire starting, canoe portaging, among others. One of the stops will be at the amateur radio station where they will hear about the station and get points by answering questions and get bonus points for talking on the air. Russ will have scouts on the air from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific, probably starting out on 14290. With the 7th Area CUSO party going on, there should be plenty of local activity and hopefully contest participants will give this group some room. Ray Zeck, N6DZK, will be the control operator for K2BSA Portable 6 at the Scoutorama for the Silicon Valley Monterey Bay Council at Historic Park in San Jose, California, on Saturday, May 13th. Ray will have a 100-foot tower with a Yaesu FT-991 into a hex beam. They will be on the air from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific on 40, 20, or 15 meters, depending on band conditions. Stephen Shear, WB3LGC, will be the control operator for KB3NCC at the Henson Scout Reservation in Rosedale, Maryland, on Friday, May 5th through the 6th. Stephen will be running 15 watts or less on 40-20 PSK on Friday, and then joining into the state CUSO parties on Voice and CW in the 10-10 contest for Saturday. The Radio Scouting Net will be on Thursday, May 11th at 9 p.m. Central on Echolink node *JOTA-365*. If you are interested in talking with some veterans of Radio Scouting, this is a great opportunity to have an informal discussion during the net. Hamvention is approaching rapidly, and the K2BSA group will be present in Building 2 in Booth 2205. Please consider a visit to the booth to learn more about what you can do to get involved in radio scouting, like getting scouts to your field day event, and learn about our upcoming events like National Jamboree and Jamboree on the Air. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
One more reminder that the deadline approaches to nominate a candidate for Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Do you know someone 18 or younger who particularly impresses you? This is Amateur Radio Newsline's commitment to honoring young, talented radio operators. Find application forms on our website at arnewsline.org under the YHOTY tab. Nominations close May 31st. That's later this month. Also, be listening on Tuesday, May 9th at 8 p.m. Central Time as Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, joins Ted Randall, WB8PUM, on the QSO radio show heard live on WTWW at 5085 kHz. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Okayan Amateur Radio Society repeater on 146.670 MHz in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's May, and Hamvention is coming, and not more than an hour's drive from the Dayton Hamvention is another popular gathering spot for amateurs. The National Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, located at the site of VOA's Bethany Relay Station in Westchester Township. If you're going to Hamvention and you're free after 5 p.m., check it out. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, has the details.
It's not quite Hamvention after dark, but the VOA Museum is still offering some incredible nightlife for amateurs visiting Ohio starting May 19th. Although the Bethany Relay Station stopped operating in 1994 and its towers have long since come down, its doors will be open to amateurs who will want to experience its rich history in global radio. The museum's executive director, Jack Dominick, said that there's plenty to see and do.
If you think about it, it's kind of a must-see for someone who hasn't been here before, because if you're interested in ham radio, you're interested in shortwave, and this facility is arguably the most significant shortwave presence in the whole United States. At one time, six of the world's highest power shortwave transmitters were located.
Take a tour and see one of the transmitters, a 1960 vintage Collins rig. Visit the control room and see the antenna switching matrix that once allowed transmissions to be aimed directly at Europe, North Africa, and South America. The museum also contains equipment from Robert L. Drake's personal amateur radio collection. Museum board member Gary West, K8DEV, says yes. Bring your license and you can even get on the air.
We have a club station here, Westchester Amateur Radio Association. We are here in Westchester Township. And WC8VOA is our call sign, and we do have a station here. We've got six operating stations, and we do encourage people to get on the air when they're here if they're interested, and just let us know.
The open house promises to be a celebration of wireless. Admission is $5, and the doors are open May 19 and May 20th until 9 p.m. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
We bring you another installment in our occasional series, Nets of Note. This one has real historical significance, and it's high-flying, too. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
This week's Net of Note is a very special one with a lot of American history tied in. I spoke with group member John Stromsland, WA6LJS, about what makes their net special.
It's called the Air Force Flyers Club Net. And it's a historic and patriotic group of airmen from all wars and all branches of the military, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, who served as pilots, air crew, ground crew, missile crew, and we've even got air traffic controllers in the net. NET was started in 1989 by WR7IVX, who's since become a silent key. Some of the original members are silent keys now, but the ones that started it were basically World War II pilots, and the first member, Van Nordstrom, was a B-17 gunner. We have the distinction of having the youngest fighter ace in the history there. We had November 3 Golf Tango Tango. Dale Carger was his name, and he was 19 years old when he flew P-51s, and he had 11 kills.
This net of note has definitely had some members of note, many of which were notable outside the ham radio world.
We also have some historic people that were in the net. Many people have heard of General Curtis LeMay. He was called the father of Strategic Air Command. And in 1961, General LeMay was the chief of staff of the United States Air Force. He was also a ham radio operator. And in 1957, he established single sideband as the standard for high-frequency communication for SAC bombers.
They have even had one former U.S. senator.
Barry Goldwater, who I'm sure everybody's heard of, he used to check into the net way back when, and he did phone patches for the troops in the early 60s.
Membership has fallen off in recent years, according to Stromsland, but still remains very active.
At one point, we had over 500 members. A lot of the old-time members, of course, have become silent keys, but currently we have about 69 active members.
I asked Stromsland where you could find the net.
The net meets on 20 meters every day, 7 days a week, on 14290 at 1530 Zulu. And then on Tuesdays only, we have a 40-meter net that comes on right after the 20-meter net closes on 7.181 in the morning. And then on Tuesday in the evening at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we meet on 7.278.
While you have to be either active military or a veteran in order to join the net, anyone is welcome to check into the net and join in the discussion. And as always, we here at Amateur Radio Newsline thank all of our military, past and present, for your service. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Meanwhile, if you know of a net with an interesting story to tell, email us at newsline@arnewsline.org and we might just feature it in our occasional series, Nets of Note. In the world of DX, we have a few CW operators who will be calling QRZ. You have a few more days to listen for S79J operating from Mai Island in the Seychelles Islands. The call sign is being used by Ivan LZ1PJ until the 10th of May. Listen for S79J operating in CW on the HF bands and on 6 meters, QSL to the home call. Martin MW0BRO is operating from Qatar as A7/MW0BRO through the 18th of May. He is transmitting from the Qatar Amateur Radio Society Club Station in Doha. Listen for him operating in CW on 80 through 10 meters and also QSL to his home call. Gab HB9TSW is operating as Z68BG from Slatina Air Base in Pristina, Kosovo until the 23rd of May. He will use CW on 40 meters through 10 meters. QSOs with Kosovo do not count for the DXCC award at the present time. On St. Martin Island, John K9EL is operating as FS/K9EL on single sideband CW and ready through the 15th of May. Listen for him on 80 meters through 6 meters. Send QSL cards via the home call, OQRS, Logbook of the World, and EQSL. And finally, we end this newscast with the tale of a modest project in Australia that wasn't so modest after all. Finding a way to get kids interested in space travel and radio tracking with the help of a small animal. Well, okay, it's a plush toy small animal. Let's hear more from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Can an echidna fly? Well, if you're a spiny anteater named Anstey, and you're in the company of the Amateur Radio Experimenters Group in Adelaide, South Australia, you can not only fly, you can soar. That was the fate of Anstey, a plush toy echidna who got a trip into space with the help of the Radio Amateurs Group, including Mark Jessup, VK5QI. Anstey went up into the sky via a high-altitude balloon, one of many this amateur group has launched over the years, as a way of grabbing the attention of young South Australians at the Tea Tree Gully Library at the end of last year. The plush toy is the library's mascot, and she became a mascot with a mission. Anstey was sent up to a height of about 23 miles from a sports field in the Adelaide Hills and was tracked via radio to a somewhat soft landing a few days later in a wheat field about 75 miles from where she had been launched. Mark said she was buried in the tops of the wheat and wasn't visible until they literally stumbled upon her. The journey took the little plush toy into air temperatures estimated to be minus 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The library, however, had a good warm feeling about the whole matter. ABC News Australia picked up the story recently, as has other media. Now the celebrity echidna is back at the library for another appearance. May 8. May 8, youngsters will visit the library, learn about the journey, meet the well-travelled toy, and celebrate the first echidna in space. And likely, she won't be the last. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to ABC News Australia, Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Chelmsford Weekly News, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hindustan Times, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the K2 BSA Amateur Radio Association, the Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, the Taipei Times, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show and WTWW Shortwave, And you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights are reserved.